Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message is our gospel reading read earlier from John chapter 7. I'd like to highlight a section of that, the end part of verse 37 through the beginning part of verse 39, where Jesus promised regarding what was to come at Pentecost. And he said this literally from the Greek, and it's significantly different, and we'll talk about that later, from what you have in the bulletin. Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsting, let him come to me, and let whoever is believing in me drink. As the scripture said, rivers of living water will continuously flow from out of his," that is Jesus's, "internal body cavity." Now this he said about the Spirit. This is our text. I think most of you have heard about this, that our human bodies are around 60%, I've heard some people say 70% water. So obviously, we need a lot of water. In fact, without water, we simply cannot live and grow. But of course, our human existence is not only about our physical bodies, is it? We also have a spirit. We can't obviously see the human spirit, nor can we measure it. And so we can't say, well, there's a certain percentage of the spirit that is water. But we can say that for the Christian life, the Spirit himself is 100% water. On that first Pentecost, which we celebrate today, Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit in such a dramatic fashion and in such a with such incredible results. And he told us in advance, in our gospel reading today, that the Holy Spirit is, quote, living water. And we know from the rest of Scripture that it is the Holy Spirit that gives us life. In fact, Jesus promises here in today's text that he is the one who pours out the Holy Spirit with his gifts of grace to quench our spirit's thirst and enable us to grow. At the time of this gospel reading today, it is the last day of the Feast of Booths, sometimes also called the Feast of Tabernacles, which included a ceremonial pouring out of water. Now, this action recalled and celebrated three waters. First, in the past, the waters of creation. Also in the past, second, the water that God poured out from the rock in the wilderness, which Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10, was Christ himself. And third, the waters of the river of life, that Revelation 22 tells us will flow, quote, from the throne of God and of the Lamb, unquote, to quench the souls of God's people in eternity. Well, it was during this ceremony that water from the Pool of Siloam would be poured out in the temple. And in the midst of that holy rite, Jesus now stood up, and he proclaimed his great promise that we have in our text today. Now, throughout Scripture, water, either the lack or the abundance of it, reminded God's people, just as our drought conditions remind us right now, how much we all depend upon God, both for the needs of our human bodies and lives, but even more, how utterly dependent we are upon him for the needs of our spirits and souls. When Jesus said in verse 37, "If anyone is thirsting, let him come to me," he is not talking there about physical thirst, of course. But the spiritually parched soul that every one of us has, as a result of our sin-contaminated and fallen human condition. Remember, before Adam and Eve first fell into sin, they could eat and they could drink to their heart's content. Their bodies never lacked hydration or sustenance in God's paradise. But now, because of our sin, just as the body will thirst and die without water, so our soul thirsts for and craves for God's righteousness and salvation. But the corruption of sin and the way Satan has now twisted our thinking makes it so that we too often crave after the wrong things to quench our thirst, don't we? And what are those things? Well, there's more than I can list, and you each have your own unique things, but they are things like popularity and acceptance by our peers, pleasure and entertainment, power and influence, success, wealth, material possessions. We call it the American dream. And we also crave after praise from ourselves and those around us. But my friends, if those are the places that we look at to quench our thirst, we will forever remain disappointed. And yet, the soul that is sincerely thirsting for God's righteousness and salvation will indeed find full satisfaction and will be spiritually quenched, because the Spirit that Jesus pours out in the abundance of his grace is what brings true acceptance, purpose, guidance, truth, unconditional love, joy, fulfillment, and complete assurance for the future in Jesus and his saving work in our place. You see, Jesus, when he said these words, was pointing everybody forward in this text to see in his own bodily sacrifice, as well as the events of Pentecost, how he would pour out his pure, soul-quenching grace to overflowing upon every soul that believes in him alone as Savior, God, and Lord. That's why Jesus came to us here in human flesh, isn't it? To drown the old sin-filled Adam in all of us, as well as to conquer Satan and his evil grasp upon our souls by taking our place on the cross of Calvary. Now, when we look at the original Greek of our text today, then we can see, really, the connection that Jesus intends, one that, sadly, many of the English translations have somehow missed. Those translations actually place the punctuation and the verse number breaks, and remember, neither of those were in the original text. That's been added later. But the punctuation and the verse number break, they put it in such a way that it makes it seem, as it does in the text that you have in the bulletin, like the rivers of living water should be flowing out of our hearts as believers, instead of Jesus's body cavity, which is what the word koileia refers to here in the Greek. Koileia, where we get colon from. Jesus even calls himself the source of living water when he talks with that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And Paul says that Jesus was the source of living water for God's people in the wilderness that flowed out of him as the rock. So why is this so important? Well, I'm sure most of you remember what happened immediately after Jesus had died. John 19, verse 34 says, "One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water." So how does that connect us to the gift that Jesus promised to pour out upon his people on the day of Pentecost? Consider this verse, 1 John 5, 6 through 12. I'm reading just portions of it. It says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. And this is the testimony that God gave us. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and His life is in His Son. Whoever has His Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's why Jesus died, so that you and I, along with all who believe in Him, might have life instead of death and condemnation as we deserve. But how does He intend for us to personally receive these benefits that He won for us on the cross? Well, Jesus knows us. He knows that we need more than just words. We need more than just feelings. It's not about how I feel. We need something real, something that is eternal, something that doesn't change. And so Jesus promised in John 16, just before His death, "If I go," that is to my death, "if I go, I will send the Helper to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you." This Spirit is, of course, the third person in the Trinity, God Himself, sent by Jesus to be with us, to be our Helper, to testify that Jesus' death on the cross, to testify to Jesus' death on the cross, and to grant us forgiveness, along with the water and the blood that poured out from Jesus' side, which also connects to the Spirit. And so now, on the day of Pentecost, as we heard Luke's account in our second reading from Acts, time has finally come. Jesus had already died, and Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And as we heard in 1 John, wherever the Spirit is given, Christ is also present with His gifts of life. In fact, that Spirit and those gifts, they come to us not from within ourselves, as those English translations want us to think, and as so many people incorrectly believe today. But the living water, the Holy Spirit, comes from outside of us, flowing to us from the Father and from the Son, whose insides already spilled out water and blood for our forgiveness. We don't deserve Him. We can't earn, we can't purchase Him. And yet, without Him, our spiritual thirst cannot be quenched, and we will suffer in the scorching eternity of hell with Satan. Yet make no mistake, Jesus wants every single one of us to be with Him forever, doesn't He? And so He sends His Holy Spirit to us, in spite of our sinful nature and our thirsting for the things that He forbids and that He knows we will harm us. And He pours His quenching water out upon us in the life-saving and faith-creating waters of our baptism, in the gracious flood of truth as we have it in His perfect word of Scripture, both read and proclaimed, and in the soul-nurturing strength of His body and blood that He now feeds to us from His cross here in Holy Communion. These three are the means: baptism, word, the Lord's Supper. These are the means, the instruments that Jesus put in place through which He promises us that the Holy Spirit will work to quench our souls with His amazing grace. And folks, there is no need to look anywhere else. That's a comfort for us, because now we know we don't have to wonder where to look. We don't need to grope around in all of the wrong places trying to address our soul's thirst. No, we know where to come to be filled, to be comforted, to be covered with the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the strength and the assurance that we need so much. Just come. Come to Jesus and His gifts here in His Word and Sacrament. And the beauty of this gift that Jesus has poured out upon us and for us in His Spirit is that He is not just a one-time-and-done kind of gift, is He? No, Jesus promised, in fact, in verse 38, present tense, rivers of living water will continuously flow. As the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit flows continuously to us in the present tense. Not just within us as individuals, but also through us all as a community of His redeemed and refreshed people in His church. You see, being Christian is not just about, as some people want to say and think, it's not just about me and Jesus. He created us all for a relationship with Him first and foremost, of course, but also for a loving and active relationship with each other. And so He intends our Spirit-filled life to be about us and Jesus together. The Spirit is always flowing, Jesus says. He says, it's a river of living water within you right now and for the rest of eternity. And that means that because He is always flowing, then you, my dear Christians, are intended to be always growing in your faith, being led, being fed, being inspired as you partake of His gifts of word and sacrament, which means that you are regularly bowing before Him, along with the Father and the Son in faithful worship. The very place where He has established His church and charged us to administer and pour out His gifts of grace. And just as we heard that it happened on the first Pentecost with the believers gathered there in Jerusalem, so the Spirit works within and among you and me. He inspires, He guides all souls who are believing in Jesus to continuously be glowing as well. Glowing not with tongues of fire as He did on that first Pentecost, but still shining nonetheless with the gospel light of Jesus in our everyday activities and interactions with others, so that more and more souls might be quenched with Jesus' life and salvation. Jesus said, in fact, in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others. And He's talking about His light, the gospel. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Flowing, growing, bowing, glowing. What a great relief to our drought-parched souls to be dripping every day with Jesus' grace of the Spirit, to be quenched through and through with His gift of life. Flowing, growing, bowing, glowing into eternity, 100% with Jesus. In His Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.